Hey, everybody. Welcome to Drive-Thru HR. Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live every day talking about HR with the people in HR that make it happen. So happy Thursday, and it's been a pretty darn good week. So, William, how are you rolling today?
Man, I'm doing great. I am. It's an infrastructure day, Brian. I hate days like this, but it's basically getting the accounting and financial house of my consulting firm in order, and so wrought with pain, and basically creating invoices and all the time tracking and all the painful parts. I mean, it looks sexy. It looks sexy on the outside, flying places, speaking, consultants. Looks sexy. Looks sexy, right? It's not sexy. It's just not sexy at all. And these are the days, today and tomorrow, where I absolutely abhor the business that I chose in my life. Like I'd rather be outside planting flowers right now.
Duly noted. We definitely are cut from the same or wove from the same cloth on that one. That's just like that. God, just can I just text you a number and you just send the cash over and we'll be done. It's good. That's the way it should work, but it doesn't, right? So you got a paper trail stuff and you got to reconcile and all that stuff. So loud and clear, man. Loud and clear. So we know what tomorrow is, right? B-ball day. Get to look a little basketball. Can't wait to check it out in the big Arlington. Pretty excited about that.
Yeah. Well, they have some games on today too. Not as exciting as the Florida Gulf Coast University and all of what they're going to bring to Arlington. But there's actually games on today, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. By the time we get to Monday, we will be down to four. There will be four teams on Monday.
It will be this is a fun tournament because you got some underdogs in there. Whenever you throw a mix that people don't expect, that just makes it, again, people silently or very vocally, either one, pull for the upsets because that hits home with people, like, yeah, anybody can do it. So let's figure out. So we're gonna do a reschedule, obviously with our guest today, with Josh.
We are, and probably some context for the audience. Josh's company, I think we both agree, the best analyst firm in the entire ecosystem that studies HR, Burson & Associates, was acquired by Deloitte. And just a couple months ago, I think Josh, I mean, I know he's out on, I saw him on Facebook yesterday, I saw him on Twitter yesterday, so I know he's alive, which is good. But I also know that the acquisition has just probably been, probably tough on everybody. He's probably just getting life to acclimation with the Deloitte brand and all of that stuff. So we'll definitely have Josh back on. We scheduled this back in, November. So we'll get him scheduled back up. But, if you don't mind, Brian, what I'd like to do with today's show, you've gone through, an acquisition of your company, PeopleClues. And so PeopleClues is now part of People Matter, which is fantastic for both of those companies. But in that acquisition, you decided to focus on your company. So a part of that acquisition has gone on, and you've spun out, and you're focused on CVOC. And so what I'd like to do, if you don't mind, I'd like to actually turn the interview on you, unbeknownst to you, of course, and ask you some questions about CVOC and find out a little bit more about that. So if you could, do us a favor and just start at the top. What is CVOC? Why does it exist? And why should we care?
Well, that I appreciate the question. So unbeknownst to me, that is for sure. CVOC, actually, and for everybody, this is Brian Wimpen, co-host of Drive-Thru HR. And so over the years, we've all, like, you know, anybody that's out in the professional world has went to a lot of speakers, right? You're in sessions, you're doing educational, continuing education, you're at keynotes, you're at conferences, workshops, webinars. I mean, speaker, I mean, that's, you know, and there's a handful of folks that really stick with you and like, you know, that was good. I mean, I like them. I want to actually maybe hang out with them. I like the way they presented, like the style, like their content. And so over the years, started to formulate opinions that, unfortunately, a lot of speakers are not very compelling. They might have good content. Maybe it's a style thing, or, you know, they might just be missing the mark and not have content or style. Totally happens. Happens a lot. So about maybe eight or nine months ago, started just having conversations and doing the research around what does a speaker agency look like? Because who doesn't want to be at one point in their time like a sports agent, right? That's like, that just looks like, you know, crazy fun. You know what I mean? You're out there representing like these big talents, and you're doing the deals, and I mean that's about a, you know, that's some sexy stuff. So that's just growing up being a sports agent, since I, you know, never was able to take sports past high school, I thought that would be cool. So it'd been in the back of my mind, so I'm like, oh God, what if we applied that to speaking, right? Speaker, like a speaker agency. Do a boutique, high touch, you know, handful of speakers that I love and adore and would, you know, pretty much step in front of a bullet for. I wonder if we could make that into a business model. And so started chatting, you know, doing some research, talking to some of the folks that I know have been really successful, like Ryan Estes is one, had a couple conversations, talked with Joe and Jason over at Talent Anarchy. I mean, they're professional speakers. And just like, what does the business look like, right? And started trying to learn a little bit more about like conference speaking versus corporate speaking versus workshop versus webinar. You know, what does that all kind of play out on the business side, and, you know, the dynamics of that and highs and lows and everything. And, you know, just over a pretty, you know, short amount of time said, you know, maybe this is a nice little, you know, side business so we could help find some of the speakers that fell in love with over the years, and just maybe help them match them up with some of the audiences that you know, we know really well in the HR space. Start out there. And so I started having the conversation with a really good you know, friend of the show, friend of the HR community and a practitioner, Kat Carlos, who was also we're on the same team at People Clues, and we said, yeah, you know, this would be a cool little, you know, just a little side business, you know, just started. I've been very entrepreneurial. I've had 6 or 7 companies over the years and hadn't had one for probably 4.5, 5 years, hadn't started a company. And I thought, well, that would be kind of a cool thing. Just like I said, we're out there meeting everybody. It's like maybe, you know, we just do a little boutique thing, and we figure it out over time. And so we launched the company officially in October. Around HR Tech, and we just had 3 or 4 speakers, and we're up to about 7 speakers now, all very, very well known in the HR, kind of the HR world for the most part, and do corporate speaking. And literally our goal was to put the most impactful, well-respected, likable, real people in front of audiences so that literally they could feel that they were getting a good message from good people and were able to go do something with it to change their personal or professional life. And that ultimately, at the end of the day, is really our cornerstone, is just being real and honest, you know, and those are the kind of people we want to put in front of audiences. And I love doing it. I'm a relationship guy. I love being around people. I love really genuinely hearing what people are thinking and kind of what's going on with them and where they're from. And, you know, that's something I've always enjoyed. And so being able to go around and help people do that just seemed like something that I, you know, I was ready. I thought this is a good time to jump into this. There's, you know, right now is a good time for the industry. Relative to the speaking industry and putting thought leadership in front of audiences. And so I thought, you know, what the hell, might as well jump into it and, you know, give it a run and see what I literally could help develop over time.
Nice. Do us a favor. The hiring of speakers is a very inefficient market, a very murky market. Take us into the process that folks on the other side, how they're trying to figure out which speakers to work with, and also what pricing looks like. You know, it's like pricing the invisible in some ways. What's a keynote worth? What's a great, you know, keynote? What's the range of that? So take us into the buying process from your perspective, and also let's touch on pricing.
Sure. Yeah, I mean we're incredibly transparent about that because that has really been a very interesting process. It's very backroom. As we're going through the learning process on the corporate and association side, a lot of relationships, and you know, kind of to answer your first part of the question, when associations, when anybody is out there picking a speaker, I think it's one of those that it's good to do your research. You know, if you've got videos, you call people that you trust. You call people that are very discerning in their opinions, and ask them who's the top five most impactful speakers that you've heard in the last year, right? That's probably where I think people make their best decisions, is when they start to get some opinions of people that they know have a level of kind of a discerning level of kind of quality in what they anticipate. And because, you know, there's a lot of people like, oh, that was great. And then you call the one or two people that really are going to give you the opinion, and they're like, you know, it was all right, but I've heard it 10 times, right? So I wouldn't go see that. And so get all your opinions, look at the collateral, see, you know, how many times they've spoken in the last, you know, 12 months, what are the audiences, and then just pick the phone up and actually talk to them and/or the folks that they, you know, the folks that they're dealing with, and just have a conversation. I think that's probably one of the areas that I see not happening as much, is people being able to take the time and just have a conversation about kind of what the expectations are on both sides and get to know each other. And usually when you can do that, you'll get closer to if it's a good match or not, because not everybody's a good match. That's probably more than not is a big part of it. So yeah, from as you screen, just figure out who people are. See if you want to deal with them. You know, because at the end of the day, I think that's really important to have a longer-term relationship, and it's not just the one-time pop where you put a speaker in and then you're done. I mean, if you can build a relationship, that should really be kind of overarching, kind of the one of the important things. I know it is for us. I mean, for CVOC, for sure, and for our speakers that we represent. Pricing is a fascinating thing. We like association, like nonprofit pricing is a little bit different than, for example, corporate pricing or workshop pricing. So workshops are kind of the anomaly, because you're literally in there, say for a 1-day workshop, you're probably, depending on the content, you could be anywhere from $3,000 to $15,000. Like the that's the range of the folks that are probably have the most consumable content, from like sales training to like communication, change management, all the way to full-on kind of Six Sigma kind of lean certification. So that's a full, you're doing a full day, maybe even a day and a quarter with that. And then you go into like a program meeting that's maybe it's an hour lunch meeting. Again, that's the range of anywhere from about an hour to say 75 minutes. You're from 3,000 ballpark, 3,000 all plus travel. This is just straight up speaking fees. 3,000 up to roughly 15,000 is probably a pretty consistent range. So the average on that is probably gonna hit the middle ground of about $6,500. It's probably kind of a, you know, once you negotiate up and down depending on the size of the audience and where it is, and you know, if there's other opportunities that will come out of that audience. So that is actually session pricing. And then keynote pricing, depending on the size of the audience, again, nuanced. And so you could have anywhere from like a third level keynote, because the way that we kind of compartmentalize it, William, is you got like your first, second, and third keynotes. You know, you basically got your lead off. You basically got your lead off, kind of your potentially kickoff. You've got kind of your middle, and then you got your cleanup at the end. So usually your kickoff is probably the most typically the most expensive. Second is kind of mid-range, and then third, typically your cleanup is the one that's probably the least expensive in that group. It's typically how I've seen it, you know, play out. And it, again, it goes from, my gosh, you know, the heavy hitters out there could be $125,000. We don't really play in that range. So for us, I mean, we're anywhere from $35,000 to about $5,000 for keynotes is kind of the range that we're kind of dealing with. And that's, I think that's pretty much the fat part of the market. Because you've got, I mean, nice. You start, I mean, you know, there's only so many places that you're going to be able to drop like $75,000 to $125,000 for an hour keynote. I think that's just the reality of it. So.
Right. Well, let's get into representation real quick. Who do you currently represent? Who does Steve-O currently represent? And how do you make decisions on who to represent in the future? Because you got a bunch of people listening that might want to tap you on the shoulder. You know, people that you know, I know, they know, you know, et cetera. And, you know, this sounds like a fantastic idea. How do you make the decision who to represent? So the question is two parts. Who are you currently representing? Secondly, how do you make the decision who to represent in the future?
Well, and that's, I think that's probably been one of the biggest areas of that we've had to be really disciplined about, because, you know, we're basically, you know, one full-time person and then, you know, another partner that's nights and weekends, right? So there's a reality curve there that, you know, let's stay boutique. I mean, that's what we wanted to do. So we literally currently, we'll just kind of run down, currently who we represent, which was actually pretty funny for a while, we only had people that their name started with a J, basically. So we had Jason, Joe, Julie, Jason, Jay, and then we had to get more diverse and add Dwayne and Don. So J's and D's, that's all we do. That's all we represent. You got to have a J or D as your first letter of your name. That's our criteria, which is odd, I know, but no, I'm just kidding. So, yeah, so we out there in the marketplace, Jason Seiden, very well-known guy. We represent Julie Moreland, the president of PeopleClues, my former partner. Jay Coons, another well-known guy from the healthcare side. Don McPherson, which is kind of on the survey side. Joe and Jason with Talent Anarchy, very well-known. They were the first ones that came on board with us and have been fantastic. Actually, them and Dwayne Lay were the first three that came on board with us. And then probably our heaviest hitter is Eric Wall out of San Diego. And he's a top 100 keynoter, headed around the world, has recently written a book. Dwayne Lay recently published a book, of which we were very encouraging of all of our speakers to think about kind of what they want to author. Do they want to write a book? What does that look like? What does their content look like? That's part of what we do to help the speakers. So the biggest part of how, you know, we look at speakers is, one, both myself and my partner have to see the speaker in person. That is like our cornerstone. We will not bring somebody on board unless both of us have seen them in person, met them, had a conversation, and 100% agree that this is somebody that we want to, you know, invest time, money, energy, you know, spirit, emotion, and actually represent them in the marketplace. So that is the single biggest filter we have right there.
Fantastic. All right. Really quickly, as you mentioned some of the marketing things, writing books and content, et cetera, you know, what's the future look like in terms of CVOC working with the people that you represent and marketing them as an asset, marketing them as something that needs to be bought?
Oh, that is a great question. Thought I'd throw that out there again.
Plus one.
There is no doubt. Probably the biggest thing, and actually I'm gonna turn this around real quick. So, William, if you wanted to be represented as a speaker, what would you look for in an agency? I got to turn this around because I'm dying to ask it. I've never asked you this before.
You know, I think the thing is you got to fit where they're not good. So if they're great socially, you don't really need to offer that service. If they can't write to save their life, you've got to offer that service. So the agency of the future for CVOC is to fit every one of your speakers in their weak spots where they're not great. Jason Seiden, great writer, written 3 books. You don't really need to help Jason Seiden with writing or content or anything on the written side. So it's like, what is his weak spot? Fitting his weak spot with your strength. So your strength has to be malleable to each one of the people you represent. In terms of me, I would never be a great prospect because I curse. And I find it very difficult to not be on stage and not curse. I'd be a great comic. Well, actually, I'd be a really average comic, but I'd never be able to be represented. That's why I do a lot of concurrent workshops and stuff like that, so I can get away with that type of stuff, behaviors, if you will. So I would never be a great prospect or a great client, but I think the future really is about fitting around the weak spots of each one of your speakers.
Do you think flip the interview around here? So
sure.
Where do you feel? Because obviously we're getting more into this. Where do you feel that these organizations are doing good jobs in picking speakers and doing not as good job or poor job in picking speakers?
Well, 80% of your business. I mean, you know, the stuff that you do with HR and SHRM and any of the nonprofits that you work with are the loss leaders. If you can make any money from any of those organizations, it's fantastic. That's 20%. So I would look at whatever you have to do fees-wise. I would probably represent 30 different people so that I could come with an arsenal of folks that I represented. When I got somebody on the phone from, let's say, you know, Kansas SHRM or something like that, I'd say, what are you looking for? What do you need? I open up my trench coat. I've got every type of speaker you need. They're all fully vetted, got testimonials, got everything that you need. Let's plug one of those in there. That's the loss leader, though. That person that goes and does that bit, there's a little bit of money that there's some scratch to be earned there. But really, the 80% of the market is in the corporate world. It's with the training and development folks, the membership of ASTD, if you will, that those folks that hire people to do corporate outings and corporate events that we never hear of. You know, these are all behind the veil, and they're all happening without us. That's how they hire those folks. So you use one to get the other business. And that's where I think you're going to make the lion's share of your money. But people won't really know about that because it's Jason Seiden on site with State Farm of the
right.
Midwest Territory in, you know, Cedar Rapids, you know, and no one knows that happened, and that's $15,000. But I think you have to do one business to get the other business, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, totally. So do you feel that do you look negatively on a speaker who doesn't stick around and interact with the audience past, you know, maybe just the 10 or 15 minute Q&A?
Well, I think there's it depends on the expectations of the association. So if you take a Steve Brown at Ohio SHRM, his expectation was if you come, we want you to come, but if you come, you got to be there for the whole thing. We want you to go into sessions. We want you interacting with all of our people the entire time, and, you know, we'll compensate you accordingly. For some folks, it's totally okay. I mean, I was at a Northern California HR Association last week, and some guys came in the afternoon and had a bit. They came in for a 1 o'clock speaking deal. They were done at 2:15, and they said goodbye at 2:20, and they were gone. And you know what? No one cared. It was totally cool. So it's the expectations of the association. It's the expectations of the audience. And it's making sure that your folks exceed the expectations. So the hard part for you is to then, what are the expectations? And if the person doesn't tell you, you've got to ask probative questions. What do you want? Is this just a drop in? Can I just drop the guy or gal in, do the bit, and then leave? Is that cool? Are we okay? Yes, no, maybe. And getting to those expectations so that you can exceed them on the other side. But I kind of like it when speakers know a little bit about the audience and also stay. So even if they don't express that, I think there's just something to be gained by sticking around for an extra hour or two to shake hands, kiss baby, sign books, etc.
Yeah, that's you know, what's interesting is, like I said, some of the speakers, you know, we do that. Like for example, Talent Anarchy, Jason and Joe were out in San Diego at the Chart, which is the trainers association for the restaurant hospitality industry. And so they stuck around, you know, they stayed an extra night and went to the social event, which was bowling, which was wheels off. That was pretty cool. Bowling, drinking, eating. And, you know, and I think it was, again, they're the kind of folks, they love doing that. And I think it's important to them, and it works. So,
yeah. Hey, really quickly, I got a question about feedback. One is, how do you foresee managing the feedback loops from the organization? So Joe and Jason do a bit in Topeka. You know, how do you gather the feedback from the speakers? How was the event? How did they treat you? Did everything go well? You know, to the organization, hey, how was Joe and Jason? How did it go? To the audience, like, how do you foresee that y'all are going to capture that feedback and then get that feedback back out to the associated audiences?
Yeah, that's actually, I mean, that's a super good question, plus one, that we are working through that, because that is another very fractured process, because it goes from paper to note cards to online. There's so many different ways that everybody does it differently. We're actually kind of working through trying to streamline that, literally maybe bringing in some technology with you know, an app to help aggregate that and get it back as quickly as possible, maybe even some real-time feedback. You know, a lot of that has to do, half of that is the speaker side, because different speakers intake and use the feedback better. Other associations do it better. So we'll see. I'm hoping for technology. Great question, though. Well, I think we're about out of time, William. I appreciate you asking about CVOC. It is part of the future, along with drive-through HR for me. And I will definitely close us out. Everybody, thank you. Check out, if you want to check out, you know about more about CVOC, it's www.cvoc.com. Check out the website. There, speakers are there. You, of course, can track myself or Ping Cat Carlos, my partner on nights and weekends. Check that out. But anyway, thank you, everybody, for being so supportive of the new venture. It's exciting. And, of course, Drive Through HR. We will be here every single day. And Nisha, William, have a great rest of the day. We are out of here, folks.